American hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin? Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back and board with you once again today. Kind of a spur-of-the-moment episode. Yeah, it's been a while since I did the free agency kind of episode. This is like a free agency catch-up because there were some loose ends and such. And there's one less loose end. Kalen Addison's still kind of floating around out there. So, well, we're going to kind of gradually get caught up here. What is it, like mid-August already? August 13th is at the time I'm recording this. So, yep, kind of spur of the moment. I didn't put out a bat signal. I kind of wish I did. But it's like, if I put out the bat signal, I got to wait a few days. And then I got to wait another week to have time to be able to do the show. That type of thing. So it's just the way it is. It's like, when am I going to have time to record? I got to get going here, get on with the show, because I have other projects I have to work on. And of course, my two jobs and this and that. It's not easy. So I better get my butt going. Thankfully, there is some interaction on X or Twitter or whatever the X you call it. It's been changed to X Post or Post X or X Twitter or the formerly known as Twitter. Who knows what it is, but it's X, I guess, and it's okay as long as it works. Instead of retweet, it's called repost. Yeah, it's going to take some getting used to, but it still kind of works the same. It actually looks a little cooler, I think, on the Samsung 22 Plus, so I'm okay with that, I suppose. Still the same hashtag, BDWMN, all that cool stuff. It still looks the same on the laptop here. So at the end of the day, again, a spur-of-the-moment type of an episode. I guess it's going to be two segments. That's probably the best way to do this, so I can squeeze in the ads here with, again, the DraftKings. And Raycon is back. Raycon, which is great. That's another reason it's like, I better get this show out there, because Raycon kind of comes and goes, and I like having Raycon on this show. I'm a big fan, and, well, it's, you know, I mean, they're not sponsoring us just to come and go, that type of thing, or, you know, just to kind of, for me to not even record a single episode in August, so that's probably one of the other reasons, it's safe to say. And a couple of significant moves, starting off with Brandon Duhaime, who inked a one-year deal. They came to a contract agreement, only 1 year, though, unfortunately, but a raise, $1.1 million. Brandon Duhaime avoids arbitration and all that cute stuff, but unfortunately, a UFA going into next season, though I shouldn't say unfortunate. I'm guessing he wants to stick around. He sure sounds like he does. Patrick Maroon, of course, will be a UFA. The salary cap stress will not be gone. As a lot of you know, a lot of you are pretty knowledgeable, that will not be gone until the summer of 25. So we go from $14,743,588. I had to mention that part. Of salary cap, dead cap, out of Parisi Suter, dropping down to 1.666 is, you know, for quite a while. That's going to last at least until 29, which is kind of funny, 28, 29. But it's just $1.6 million. We can live with that versus 7.3 and all that crap. So it's basically 7.4. It's just under that. So still a conversation, still a possibility that some moves will be made. Still a possibility that something's going to happen. Matt Dumba's officially gone, which is okay with me. And Ian Derek had a conversation off air and all that kind of, all that good stuff. Neither of us are too depressed about it. It is what it is. And we'll talk about that later. I'm kind of jumping in too quick here. But it's general free agency talk. And then, yeah, I'm kind of debating how I'm going to do this. I should probably, maybe I'll just kind of interrupt my free agency talk at some point to put the ads in, which might be the better way to go, because the fan interaction is going to be fairly sparse. So we're just going to kind of get started right now. Again, Brandon Duhaime, one-year contract agreement, $1.1 million. I'm very happy to have Brandon Duhaime back in the fold. I think it's a good move. It's a good move to have Brandon Duhaime back in the fold. He's definitely a worthwhile third or fourth liner. There's definitely something there with Brandon Duhaime, I think, more than just... He's not just the typical fourth liner at the end of the day. He's not just going to be a grinder his whole career. Definitely showed some goal-scoring ability last season. I was actually quite impressed. Not that it's about me. It's not just about me being impressed. A lot of people were impressed. Sorry, I keep saying I. It doesn't sound real good. But Brandon Duhaime, again, did miss a significant amount of time. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Only 51 games last year, but 9 goals, which was a career high. Only 1 assist versus 11 the year before. And throughout Brandon Duhaime's career, he's had more assists than goals. So you're talking 9 goals, maybe, I don't know, like you just kind of do the math here. You go from 6 to 9, and it's in several, you know, and it's in a significantly less amount of games. He played 80 games in his rookie year, 80 games at 21-22, 6 goals, 11 assists for 17 points. You think, you know, from 6 to 9, that's, you know, like a 50% increase, right, basically. So imagine, you know, 11, what would it be like? You know, like, say, 17 assists, something like that, giving him the benefit of the doubt. 9 plus 17 is 28 points. It's nothing spectacular, but it's okay. And that would be if he only played 51 games. So you add the 30 games there, maybe a little extra math. Maybe get to 12 goals. You kind of double everything up, basically, at the end of the day. You could kind of just about do that. So then you look at maybe 12 goals, 22 assists, and that's, you know, there you go. I forgot how to add. No, I'm just kidding. That's closer to, what is that, 12 goals, 22. We're talking, what, 34 points. So that's, oh, okay, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. Again, and you got to think the assists are there, this and that, they're going to come. And the goals that Brendan Aham scored were actually pretty good. You know, they were nice goals. It wasn't just like, oh, okay, you know, it bounced off his chest. And this and that. Oh, phew, he finally scored his first goal in like 50 games. Gee, thanks. It's about bleeping time, dude. You know, like, or let's just say like 10, 12 games or something, like droughts here and there, which happens to a lot of players, especially ones that don the Wild logo over the course of time. Minnesota is not particularly a prolific offense historically, but occasionally we've had some really nice years offensively. Yeah, we can get into that some other time. Huge drop-off in penalty minutes. He had 122 penalty minutes in 21-22, down to 42 last year. Again, less games, but most of his penalties were not all like, ugh, Jiminy Christmas, what are you trying to do? You're trying to kill us out there, Brandon? So, a little higher IQ. He definitely had matured. He was definitely a different player. It's just frustrating, again, only one assist. Like, one assist in 51 games. I don't even know how that's possible. So, jeez. So I got to think that's subject to change going forward. Again, throughout his collegiate career and U.S. Hockey League, you know, junior career, B.C. Hockey League, so on and so forth. Then again, at Providence, every single season, Brandon Duhaime played. He had more assists than goals, except, yeah, here I go, contradicting myself. 2021 in Iowa, he had 6 goals, 3 assists. But it's such a small sample size, it's almost like, who cares? Almost. It was only 24 games. So there's definitely, yeah, there's definitely more to be had with Brandon Duhaime, I got to think. Looking forward, again, to the development of what Brandon Duhaime can bring to this team. He's a good skater. He's a good skater. And again, that's a huge conversation. If you can't skate, it's just, that's the way it is right now in the National Hockey League. Pittsburgh skating was so bleeping good. The San Jose Sharks were bleeping exhausted. Like, they're like, oh, okay, you know, like a couple games into the series. And then, you know, Pittsburgh won that series for a reason, you know, and other teams. Tampa has won the Stanley Cup multiple times for a reason. Colorado, can they skate? Yeah, I would have to say the Colorado Avalanche that won the Stanley Cup skated around everybody. Vegas, yeah, skate, size, luck in terms of staying healthy. You know, the old lady luck be a lady tonight. That you might hear that song in Las Vegas once or twice. Once or twice, you might hear luck be a lady tonight. I gotta think so. Luck was a lady tonight in Las Vegas in terms of the postseason and staying healthy, where Florida, their luck just ran out with all of that. Brandon Duhaime, hopefully the luck in terms of health and all that is a strong point in the next season, because I think he can take a big step forward. It's crazy. He's 26 years old already. Seems like yesterday he was in Providence. Gosh, 2019, he was done in Providence after his junior year. I'll be danged. You know, it was a nice year. And that's when it's like, you know, this guy just might be an NHL prospect. And it's like, yeah, he is. He is. He's a legitimate NHL player. I want him on the Wild. I'm not buying posters or anything, or creating posters or whatever the heck. I'm not going crazy. I don't worship the guy. But there's something there. I'm not going to curse you out if you say, oh, Brandon Duhaime's not that good. Why do you like him so much? I don't know. I don't know. I think there's something there. That's why. I mean, and the goals he scored were pretty good, but I'm not going to go crazy and curse you out like maybe a Rube fan or two that has, you know, been an annoyance in the past. With that, I'm going to take a second. Well, let's get to DraftKings right here, right now. Might as well be the time to do it. As, of course, kind of still talking baseball and such when it comes to DraftKings, but football is like right around the corner. but I don't have anything up immediately for that. It's just preseason. We don't really do a whole lot of betting in the preseason, but maybe we do. Anyhow, new customers, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN, not XXX, but THPN. THPN is the Hockey Podcast Network. Bet just $5 to score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Kansas, unless you're a Chiefs fan, no, I'm just kidding, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, in West Virginia, if there's any of you out there listening from West Virginia, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. All games regulated by West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Like that. That rolls right off your tongue. In Connecticut, Hartford Whalers fans, please make, I'd love to see you have hockey again. Help is available for a problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Rolls right off your tongue. 21 plus in most eligible stages, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after insurance. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. Maximum bet $50. 10 plus required. Yep, 10 plus leg required for 100% boost. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.com, DraftKings, terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/baseball teams, terms. Yes, that was a mouthful, but definitely a fun ad. And of course, yes, Major League Baseball, the Twins are still in first place. By God's grace, the Twins are still in first place. And also the fact Cleveland gave up, Chicago gave up, Detroit gave up, Kansas City, if they ever existed, gave up. Ugh, I wish the Chiefs were as bad as the Royals. I hate the Chiefs so much. Ugh. If you wonder why I hate the Chiefs, just watch the way that stupid idiot tight end, I don't even want to mention his name anymore, I'm sick of him, that stupid idiot tight end behaved after they won the NFC Championship, or AFC Championship and the Super Bowl. That's all you need to know. Bleep the Chiefs and bleep their stupid tight end. Back to the Minnesota Wild, if humanly possible. We have a goaltender. No, it's not Marc-Andre Fleury. Okay, he's a goaltender, but he's, you know, old and stuff. Yeah, he is old. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. It's just he's, at this stage of his career, Marc-Andre Fleury is a backup goalie. That's not being disrespectful. It's being honest. At age 38, Mike Vernon, Hall of Famer, right? Stanley Cup champion. Calgary Flames at age 38 was Mike Vernon starting the majority of the games, especially when he got traded back to Calgary. No, he wasn't. At age 38, Marc-Andre Fleury probably shouldn't be starting the majority of the games. Free agent after the season, $3.5 million. He just might resurface with Pittsburgh or something. You never know, but he doesn't want to be uprooted at the moment. And thank you for wanting to be on the Wild, actually. You know, I mean, it's kind of cool. It's nice, and when there's not much pressure on him and not much wear and tear, he's probably going to be better. Philip Gustafson, kind of same thing in a lot of ways. Like, I don't think we're going to wear Gustafson out like we did Devin Dubnyk and Nicholas Backstrom. That was a crime. But then again, back in the old days, that's the way you would ride goalies like that. Like, being a backup goalie was probably a curse. You're like, you know, it's like, yeah, at least I'm in the NHL, but I get to play once out every 10 games or something. It was a bummer. Andy Moog, believe it or not, it's like, it's hard to believe Andy Moog was a backup goalie for the Edmonton Oilers during their dynasty. Crazy. But then he went up against them with the Boston Bruins years later. Crazy. Poor. But so sometimes guys like that do get to emerge on different teams, and that's the good part. Philip Gustafson, will he emerge on a different team in the future? We'll have to wait and see. But he will be with the Minnesota Wild for now. 3-year ditty, 25 years of age, 3.75, 3.75, 3.75. for 3 years. So that's good. Good to have him on board the Minnesota Wild for three more years. The third year, of course, carries us into the improved salary cap situation, and we'll wait and see if there's another extension coming. There's a strong possibility that could happen. Just because Jesper Wallstedt, which is how we'd like to pronounce it, I'm pretty sure that's how you're supposed to, just because Jesper Wallstedt is the goalie of the future, blah, 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 or at least he's not officially anointed the goalie of the future. He has to earn it. That's part of it. And who's to say they can't both be good goalies here? Put it this way, unless Philip Gustafson is franchise-altering legendary, like Marc-Andre Fleury may have been at times with Pittsburgh and with Vegas, though ironically his consistency is particularly in the postseason, is kind of what, that's the weirdest part, it turns out Marc-Andre Fleury into a kind of guy like legendary and everything, but at the same time, could you count on him in the big moments? That's the weird. Could you count on him during a long stretch in the playoffs? That's the weirdest part about somebody like Marc-Andre Fleury. But I need to digress back where I need to be. Having Gustafson in the fold, though, there's nothing wrong with having security at the goaltender position. Jesper Wallstedt can come in as a backup in the next year or so. Some people believe he will be called up for even a short stretch this year, possibly, because, somebody might get hurt or whatever the situation is. The odds of both goalies being 100% healthy all season are pretty slim. I mean, guys get hurt, and that Jesper Wallstedt may actually play in a couple games. I know Judd Zolgad's he did some kind of one of those write-that-down things that they do on their shows, that he'll get in at least 5 games this year. I wouldn't be completely surprised. But it won't be anything he's called up, he's here now. It won't be anything like that. But next year, there's a pretty good chance Jesper Wallstedt is at least the backup goalie for the Minnesota Wild. And again, there's nothing wrong with bringing him in gradually. In fact, it's a crying shame when people bring up goalies too quickly, throw them to the Wolves, and then they're ruined. Spencer Knight, I don't know what to think about that situation. And of course, the situation also in Philadelphia, where that goalie was looked on so highly and then, kind of thrown to the Wolves too early. And it's a damn shame with how things took place there. If Jesper Wallstedt is a franchise-changing, a Vezina Trophy candidate pretty quickly, then maybe Gustafson is still super good, deserves to be a starter somewhere, then there it is. He either gets traded or goes as a free agent, depending on the timing of Jesper Wallstedt becoming that guy. And if Gustafson's that good and Wallstedt never fully develops, maybe he could be a backup, that type of thing. Maybe he could be a great backup that eventually, several years later, does develop into a more of a franchise-leading goalie. So it's I think this creates the path for a smooth transition, one way or another. And it gives us security at the goaltender position. We don't have to worry. Backup goalies are not that hard to sign. It's just that, you got to have a guy who you could see as a legitimate starter for now and maybe for a long time, depending on how things go, how history plays out, so to speak, with these goalies, how the future plays out and how it becomes history, if that made any sense. I'm not sure it did. But yes, Marc-Andre Fleury, this is what I was basically hoping for, bottom line. Not necessarily a 5-year deal with Gustafson, but something like a three, 4 years. If it was 1 year, it's okay. That means next year you have two UFAs to deal with. Marc-Andre Fleury probably gone. Gustafson, we'll see. He might wind up signing with not the Dallas Stars, but who knows, a St. Louis Blues or something. Who knows? Who knows? God forbid the Avalanche or something crazy. I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there to be weird. Might sign with the Vegas Golden Knights if they have 5 cents of cap space, but we'll see. Why am I getting into that? No idea. Another major thing is obviously frustrations talking about why did the Wild re-up John Merrill and Alex Goligoski? Was there any point to do that? It's beyond me. It really is. Thankfully, Alex Goligoski, sorry to be rude to you, but I'm glad he's at UFA at the end of this season, this upcoming season. It's not trying to be rude. It's just, I guess he's a nice insurance, policy, that type of thing. But again, 38 years of age, 38, father time, both Marc-Andre Fleury and Alex Goligoski, very young
when they won the Stanley Cup years ago in Pittsburgh. Congratulations at the time. That was really cool to see. Of course, Alex Galgoski being a former Gopher. John Merrill still 2 years left. It's not that much money, but it's annoying. You know, it's kind of annoying. Really? That much? So that's what's gotten us bothered a bit. Defensive pairings, so on and so forth. Kalen Addison has still not been signed. He's still a restricted free agent. I don't know. He doesn't have arbitration or anything, so not sure what the deal is. Connor DeWeer will have arbitration at the end of this upcoming season, so he's the only guy who could have arbitration. He's arbitration eligible. Patrick Maroon, what a Maroon! Yep, Bugs Bunny, right? What a Maroon will be an unrestricted free agent. Brandon Rahane will be an unrestricted free agent. Ryan Hartman will be an unrestricted free agent. Marcus Foligno, Marcus Foligno and Mansa Zuccarello will all be unrestricted free agents. So it's set up nicely in terms of there will be increased space. It's just, unfortunately, yeah, I still got one more year of all that crap, kid cap crap. That's the dumb part. It is what it is. It is what it is. But you know, there will definitely be a different roster going into the season after next, so to speak, as we like to say. Marcus Johansson, of course, this year and next, $2 million, not expensive at all, and could provide that nice, mentor for Matt Boldy, again, as he makes his $7 million a year. Hopefully, we will not be complaining about that contract. God willing, we won't. I hope we don't have to. That would suck. A guy who's already shown he can score 30 goals in a season, so that's extremely encouraging. At the very least, Kaprizov eventually, a year or so after the whole cap crap ends, will be, an unrestricted free agent. Of course, you could talk about that forever. But the goalie situation, that's the way I've kind of always hoped for, that we'd have, that Gustafsson would become something of value during the course of the season. When we made that trade, the Minnesota Wild, as in we, made the trade for Filip Gustafsson in the offseason, Cam Talbot for Filip Gustafsson, and that he would at least become a decent goalie who could be here during the time of Jesper Wallstedt's development with the Minnesota Wild. And it turned out fantastic. He ended up being better than I thought. Thanks for the pre-sip report. Whoops. But yeah, freaking rain now. We go from no rain to too much. God, isn't that always how it works? It's annoying. Anyhow, this was kind of like, in a lot of ways, a best case scenario in a lot of sense, though it's a little bit annoyingly more money than some of us were probably hoping we'd end up having to pay Gustafsson, but it's not like this outlandish, Bobrovsky type of contract. It's nothing crazy like that. It's nothing crazy like that where it's like 10 years and it goes on forever and it's high, which made no sense for Spencer Knight at all with Florida. It made no sense. Like, what are you doing? They'd be like, bleep you, Wallstedt. We'll see you in 5 years, if we're lucky, that type of thing. So with that, I'm going to move to Raycon quickly and then continue into conversation about the defenseman and some fan interaction and X and all that kind of conversation. First of all, welcome back, Raycon. Great to have you. Absolutely great to have you. Let's get to it. Even if you're not going on vacation, summer's all about vacations, about a vacation state of mind. Whether I want to listen to anything like, Hall & Oates, I would like that. I would like Hall & Oates, something like that. Or some podcasts like Brave the Wild. I'd like to listen to Brave the Wild. Wouldn't that be great? Or why not the Crease Assist podcast? Yeah, Crease Assist podcast with Derek Belska. Yep, on repeat. Oh, no, on repeat, yeah, but no, Hall & Oates on repeat. Or just podcasts. We don't need to repeat the podcast or anything. Or just need to retreat inside my own head for a bit. I love creating my own summer soundtrack by popping in my Raycon wireless earbuds. There's so much going on all summer, even at least what's left of it. Sometimes you need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see people or to stay calm with some guided meditation. So I love my Raycons. I'm addicted to podcasts. I'm addicted to doing podcasts. I'm addicted to listening to podcasts. They're that nice, mine are that nice, like, blue color that I like to have. They're like the active ones, so the quality level is really good. So let me tell you right now, Raycons are the best way to listen. Use earbud tap functions to toggle between three customizable sound profiles, noise isolation, and awareness mode. Yep, so it's always good to have that noise isolation, particularly if you're like in a, you know, if they let you use them in a workplace, yet it's kind of noisy there, with noisy people or noisy just machines or something. So that comes in really handy with these. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, including 8 hours of playtime, so you can listen to what you want when you want for a really long time. And that is a fact. I can personally vouch for that. I've owned Raycons way before I did ads for them. So, yeah, I'm a fan. It's just actually a very nice coincidence. They come with custom gel tips for the most comfortable in-ear fit. They start at half the price, yep, of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And Raycons come with a 30-day happiness guarantee, so you really can't lose. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon. Right now, listeners can get, so like Brave the Wild or THPN, listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/THPN. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to save 15% on Raycons. But Raycon, or buyraycon.com/THPN. Yep, that was, yep, it's a good deal, and you're going to really enjoy it very much. They are very much worth it. I can personally vouch for that. I'm not just saying it. I'm not. I promise. So, defensemen, yeah, like we were talking about, like me and, you know, again, me and Derek off the air and, you know, other people in conversation, just like, what was the point of signing, you know, John Merrill, Alex Goligoski to these contracts? It's just kind of the strangest thing, the darndest thing. I don't know. It just seems like a waste of, it just seems like kind of a waste of space, especially Goligoski. And again, not trying to be rude. It's just, it just doesn't seem right. Trying to pick up something. If I could look at these. Where are they? I don't want to send a message. I want to read my messages. That'd be so nice. There they are. Uh-huh. So, yep. And of course, yeah, and I didn't even get into Matt Dumba yet. Yeah. What were we talking about? Little bit. Where is it? Where'd it go? Yeah, what the heck? I know it's in there. Yeah, we were talking about video games for a second. Okay, someone told me they thought Dumba was going to get $5 million a season. He thought that was crazy. Yeah, I agree. I'm glad we didn't spend the 3.9 on him. That would have been a mistake. Yep. He was also saying, I see KFAN is already talking about bringing him back next year or after that. Well, why? He's not that good. Yeah, and it's true. Like, what's the point? If the Wild bring back Matt Dumba next year, I think it's a disservice to the Minnesota Wild. I really do, and the future prospects of this team. I really do. This was actually, you know, he was talking about how, he doesn't care what Guerin says. The Merrill and extension, and Goligoski extensions were mistakes. Yeah. Yeah, I know, like, it didn't cost us Fiala, but it's like, still, what's the point? Like, what's the point? So, we could probably have done better. John Merrill is below average. Alex Goligoski is, can I say it? Below average. Goligoski is below average. So, Dumba is basically average. The dumb bomb isn't really a dumb bomb anymore. It's predictable. It gets blocked. It's maybe not as powerful as it was before. It's a combination of things, but definitely very predictable. That's why it was always blocked all the time. You'd hear Dumba shot blocked, Dumba shot blocked, Dumba shot blocked, and the accuracy wasn't there either. Also interesting that Russo didn't write about Matt Dumba signing. It ended up being Joe Smith. So that's also very interesting. Of course, Michael Russo, a lot of us refer to as the godfather of Minnesota Wild media, and you know, covering the Minnesota Wild, like the beat and all that stuff. I teased Matt Dumba because in his audio press conference with, like, it was like Arizona and all that, but the Minnesota Wild official podcast, the Pondcast, they played the audio of it. He kept saying mini, and it's like, and he does do that a lot. And it's like, come on, man. Like, do you not know better? We don't like being called mini. Come on, man. I tweeted him or X'd him or posted him, whatever the heck it is. Dear Matt Dumba, we don't like being called mini. With it, and I put a smiley face. Best of luck in Arizona. I am a fan of that franchise and, of course, that part of the country. Yes, I like the Arizona Coyotes. I said that right here out loud on Brave the Wild. I like the Arizona Coyotes. Not because I think they're a fantastic franchise and they're the greatest thing ever, but because, I like Arizona. I like the thought of the Southwest. Maybe you think I'm just some kind of shill. I am not a Gary Bettman shill here at all. I like Arizona. Sorry. And I love the uniforms that they've been wearing again. They brought them back from like the mid-90s there, mid to late 90s when they first came on the scene after leaving Winnipeg, unfortunately. That was the crappy part. I like the Arizona Coyotes. I hope that they can work it out, honestly. Does Houston deserve a team? Probably. Does Quebec City deserve a team? Hell yes. Does Hartford, Connecticut deserve a team? Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it kind of is what it is. If they move, they move. It's not, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm not going to go nuts, but, yet they probably won't. Put it this way, if I was a free agent and I had a chance to play in Arizona, that would probably be on my list. Like a list of, say, five teams that I would be, you know, intrigued by signing. Especially if I was maybe not necessarily, a Connor McDavid or something. You're probably going to want to stay where you're at, blah, blah, blah. It is what it is. You might have a chance to win, we'll see how that goes, but you might. Just the thought of being in Arizona sounds fun. And again, I like the uniforms, this and that. The arena situation is bad. It's weird. There's that. But I'd be interested in playing there if it was me. Sure. Back to Matt Dumba, though. Man, there's certain things I'd like to say that I just kind of probably can't. I don't know. Let's just put it this way. I don't see him as any kind of a victim. Like, oh, fans were terrible to him and this and that. He's not a victim at all. Not a victim at all. I thought he was over. I think he's overrated heavily by fans that may agree with certain things. Let's just say. I think he's honestly overrated slightly because of that reason. It's okay if you agree with him about certain views, but that doesn't mean you have to have him on your team. And I don't think he got blackballed by the NHL either. I think they kind of sort of had a deal in place. It was kind of with Arizona, but just kind of hold it, maybe just kind of hanging around in case something more exciting pops up. You never know. I think that's what it is. And I think it's, and again, $4 million. It's $4 million. It's not a million. That's where you might be like, okay, maybe he is getting blackballed a little bit. And at the same time, he produced 14 points last year. You understand? This is a guy who was looked on as an offensive defenseman who once had 50 points, who was on pace for 65 or something before the Tkachuk, what the heck do they call that? The torso injury, basically. I always blank on that stupid pectoral. Why don't we just call it a torso muscle? What the heck? Do we have to have fancy names for everything? So, like, I hurt my wrist. It was my Metofuku Geiger this, that, Geiger Councilman bone. It's a wrist bone, okay? Yeah. Jeez. It gets a little too goofy for me. But, sorry, I'm losing my mind here and going way off. But that's pretty much my thoughts on Matt Dumba. Thank you for playing for the Minnesota Wild. Thank you for the smiles. Thank you for the memories. It's a damn shame that he didn't reach his potential. He didn't reach his true potential, which could have been a 60-point defenseman in this league. Could have been. Maybe even 70. If like everything, and I mean everything worked out, maybe even a 70-point possible defenseman could have been up there with a slightly lesser version of Brent Burns, that type of thing. Great skating ability and all that. Darkwing Dumba was what I used to call him, and I didn't mean it in any type of crazy name, like Darkwing Duck. Like, Darkwing Duck was a hero, right? He was a hero. He's not somebody you looked on as like a dummy or an idiot, even though the cartoon could be entertaining and funny and funny things that happened to him. Darkwing Duck was a hero, so I kind of said it in a fun way. I think it was one of his celebrations that made people think of him as like, he was kind of looking like Darkwing Duck with his cape or something, and that's kind of what led me to call him Darkwing Dumba. So it was never meant of anything stupid or sad or weird. Talented guy, but unfortunately, not anymore. For whatever reason, just, talented enough to be an NHL player. could kick my ass, could skate around me 15 times before I make one stride forward. But, you know, that's not saying much, though. Beating me is not saying much in the hockey world. So we'll leave that where that is. Sorry. God bless him, though. Again, God bless him. And this is what I really wanted to get to, and I just kept talking, and I apologize. But I guess that's what radio is. You're supposed to talk. Defenseman after defenseman after defenseman after defenseman prospect. Jack Peart, you know, we're hearing him comparisons to Jonas Brodin. I always saw him as more of an offensive guy, but he really isn't, is he? He is more of a defensive-minded defenseman. So, yep, Jack Peart, we're hearing the Brodin comparisons. Interesting. Very interesting. Just not as good of a skater because he's like the best skater there is pretty much with the Wild. Carson Lambeau is very highly thought of course. Did not really take a step forward last year, which bugged me a little bit, but we'll see how he does in Iowa. That's very exciting. Same with Jack Peart. Kyle Masters took a, you know, took a T-Rex step forward. Unbelievable. Went from a guy who was averaging like 10 points a season to like 65. So, again, WHL, but still interesting. So it's guys like that. Okay, maybe not him, but we'll see. Ryan O'Rourke, Damon Hunt. That's a lot of defensemen. That's a lot. Marshall Warren, I don't really think of him that much. I don't know. He's kind of like a distant dark horse. Maybe one in him, you know, one in... He's kind of like a glorified Benoit, I think, at this point. I'd be very surprised if he ends up getting to the NHL, actually. And I'm not saying that to be rude. It's just... His career is not projecting as an NHL player. I'm just... We'll see. Hopefully it works out. O'Rourke, Hunt, those guys should make it to the NHL at some point. I gotta think they're probably getting first dibs on call-ups next year. At least one of them is gotta get first dibs on a call-up to the NHL next year. It's gotta happen. You know, it's got to. Especially, again, as we move forward. They're 2020 draft picks now. You know, it's been years. You know, it's been years already, so it's not like... It's not that outlandish to think of them as possibly make it to the NHL. Lambos, of course not. Masters, of course not. You know, guys like that. Yeah, you know, Peart and all them. No, it would be a huge, huge, huge surprise. They're a year, year and a half, 2 years away, something like that. But O'Rourke and all them, it's been a while already. So I got to think there's something. There's a possibility they at least, even if it's just five games, so to speak, type of thing. They'll be in the NHL a little bit next year. And quite frankly, if they're not in the NHL at all next year, I think that's disappointing at this point. So I don't think that's the dumbest take in the world to say that guys like Carson Lambos, Damon Hunt, shouldn't have a crack at being in the NHL very soon. I would love to see that happen. If they're not ready, I think that's kind of disappointing, honestly. I don't think that's that outlandish to say it. If they're not at least ready to play some games in the NHL, not the whole season probably, but some games in the NHL next year and the year after that, well, yeah, come on, let's go. Let's go at that point. Marco Rossi, come on, let's go. 9th overall pick. Let's go, Marco. Marco Rossi, Rossi, Rossi. Time to roast the opposition. Give him opportunities. In the top two lines, if possible, I would love to see that. Power play this, power play that. You know, and he's a good enough defender. He could probably be on the penalty kill, too. So, Rossi, it's go time. It's go time, Rossi. 21 NHL games, one assist, no goals. It's go time. Absolute go time. 9th overall pick in 2020. Merit Huznadinov, can't wait. Can't wait. I believe that's next year, right? Is his projection because of the Russian contract and all that, and he took a pretty good step forward last year. So, huge excitement. Adam Beckman, I think, should be knocking on that door. 2019 draft pick. Knocking on the door. Knock, 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 Adam Beckman. Let's go. Love to see him get to the National Hockey League, if humanly possible. And I think it is humanly possible. I really do. Charlie Strammel, he'll be there next. No, he's not. I'm just kidding. Charlie Strammel on the Wild next year. Strammel, Strammel, CS, whatever. Chucky, Chuck. I don't know. Hopefully, we're not calling him up Chuck anytime soon, but we'll see. Ogren, Yurov. Definitely high hopes there. Not NHL next year, but soon. In the next 2 years. hopefully we'll have some serious fun going on with the Minnesota Wild with some of these cool prospects. So fun thoughts looking forward. Oh, and I kept babbling. I apologize, but hopefully that was halfway decent information, at least halfway decent conversation, giving opinions and such on some of the players. So I tweeted Russo when he said the Wild avoid arbitration with tweeted, posted, whatever the heck they call it now. It was a quote post, I believe we'll call it. It says retweet there, but I guess it was still Twitter then. Of course, right after I released the show, I was teasing Russo there. To no avail, no response. I think it looks like there was a response from somebody. Oh, there's Derek, yep. Yep, I know this feeling all too well, especially back when I was blogging. You write a speculation article, and then a few hours later, news breaks, and all that work goes for all that work was for naught. Yeah, I can't even imagine how tiring that would be when you write a huge, huge article, and then, oh, crap, you know, it all falls through. Derek put an article up, a poll up in late July about who do you think is the most likely, this is cool, UFA for 24-25. Who do we think that, which future UFA do you think is most likely to be re-signed? If you vote for other, reply and say who it is. He had Zuccarello, Foligno, and Marc-Andre Fleury, Ryan Hartman slash other. Marcus Foligno won, I guess. I mean, I guess so, because of Bill Guerin likes him and all that stuff. But really, Ryan Hartman, blah, you know. And that came in second. Matt Zuccarello came in third, 26.4. Marc-Andre Fleury, 3.8% went to Marc-Andre Fleury. Marcus Foligno came in just under 40%. I'm going to look at the comments. I don't know if I commented, no. Tony Perkle said, unless big discounts apply, probably none. Too many young guys need ice. Yeah, yeah, I kind of like that. Tom Hahn said, that's less than excitable list. Oy vey, especially for the summer of 25. Stephen Miller was saying, we've discussed that we prefer to happen to armchair GMs. Most likely will be different. Okay, but yeah, this was probably, yeah, this is already read on Derek's show. So Logan Cooley has changed his mind and will leave to the Coyotes. So I think the Coyotes are going to be pretty good, actually, in the next couple of years. Probably. They've accumulated some nice picks. They did sign Jason Zucker. I'm not the biggest fan in the world. I don't know. Just something about Jason Zucker bugs me. I think you guys know that already. Something about him bugs me. Like, he is, I don't know. Just there's like a little extra attitude. I've noticed that. It's kind of always been there. I don't know. Some people say he's like the nicest guy ever. Other people don't. I'm kind of leaning on the don't side, but we'll see. Derek Felska says, it's within Logan Cooley's right to change his mind, but he will still be playing half his games in a college arena next season. Hashtag truth. Yeah. Yep, he will be playing half his games in a college arena next season. Yep, that's the sad truth. The Arizona State Sun Devils and the Phoenix Coyotes share the same building. Okay. And isn't that the darndest thing? That's the bad part about Arizona. But I'm just saying, kind of as a whole, I just like the Arizona Coyotes. I do. They're not my second favorite team, but I like them. Sorry, I'm getting hot here. I don't know why. Thoughts on Philip Gustafson? Yep, another poll, signing with the Wild, 3 years and all that. Good, bad, meh. I picked very pleased, and a lot of people agree. 65.3%, a blowout. Meh, 26.5%, and very disappointed, 4.1%. Yep, so I don't know if I responded. See if I said anything. I was saying I'm generally happy with it, while slightly higher than most of us may have been hoping. 3.75 AB isn't over the top. As for the term, it sets things up perfectly one way or another. And did Kalisha respond? Looks like she did. Yep, Kalisha Townsville and Teresa Ferries are also on the Crease Assist podcast. It is absolutely great. So you're going to hear shout-outs all the time on this show to that one. Yep, I missed the bat signal for the last show, and I didn't get on, so dang it. Kalisha was saying, here's the thing, $750 is basically another contract, but Bill Guerin was prepared to sign Gus regardless, the Gus bus regardless. Just happy to see a three next to it. I'm happy with term because we basically thought it was going to be 1 to 2 year contract, or, yeah, so that's good. I agree. Thank you for that, Kalisha. And, yep, so we'll keep going. Yep, and there it is, the Gustafson signing. Was there a cut? Was there a response? Derek Felska says, the term in AAV seemed to work for both sides. It goes beyond the worst cap hell years. Sensible contract. I agree. MeebMVP@gmail.com says, yeah, this is great for both sides. I would like to see Flower take over as goaltending coach next season. Chabot could help with scouting, but the game has changed so much since he played. Yep. Interesting. So he was a goaltender, huh? This person that, yeah. MeebMVP. Interesting. Cool. Retired goaltender. Retired. And that's it. I do believe. Where'd it go? Nope. One more. Okay, that is it. So thank you for the interaction. Yep, nice to hear from Derek. Nice to hear from MeebMVP. I think, yep, those are the only two people that actually, oh no, Kalisha also directly replied to this episode. So to the X post, I guess we call it now, or X, since the last episode. So yep, that's all good mentioned. Because I was kind of just reading other people's responses on the polls, which is kind of, I don't know, I probably shouldn't be doing that when it's someone else's show necessarily, but I suppose it's still good conversation. Thank you very much for the interaction. Thank you very much for listening to the show. Please tell your friends about it, of course. Big shout outs to Minnesota Wild Global, Minnesota Wild Nation, MNW Prospects, of course, Locked On Wild. Really, really big shout outs to all of you. Thank you so very much for listening always. God bless all of you. Of course, guys like MNW Prospects, Pavel Bonnet, Justin Bakke, Brandon Kwas, love you guys very much, very, very much. And again, gave my usual shout-outs to the Crease Assist already, so a couple times. Thank you so much for all of you for listening. Hope this is a decent catch-up show. I love talking about the future. I like talking about current situations and such. I love talking hockey, so glad I was able to get back on the behind the mic here and at least get another show in and get Raycon out there as well. Get your Raycons. You're going to love them. With that said, take care, and we will talk to you soon.